It is Friday, August 26, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is Ozarks at Large. Later on the program, a preview of the volleyball season at the University of Arkansas. First match is tonight against number 15 Colorado State. We'll talk with head coach Robert Palooza and Charlie Horse, the band, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with banjo and guitar in hand.
My name is Kiera Brown. I am an undergraduate student.
My name is Hubert Lee. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. I chose the University of Arkansas because I felt that through all my visits and talks with former students and friends that I could receive an excellent education.
My name is John Kester, and I'm a first-year doctoral student in the Environmental Dynamics program. I'm from Flagstaff, Arizona, where I recently completed my master's degree in sustainable communities.
These three students shared their reasons for attending the University of Arkansas during the opening moments of a press conference this morning, during which administrators announced the school's historic enrollment growth. The Arkansas Department of Higher Education requires colleges and universities to take an enrollment snapshot on the 11th day of class to represent the institution's official enrollment figures. Although that date is not until September 6th, Chancellor G. David Gerhart announced the most current figures this morning.
I'm pleased to announce to you that we have, at the University of Arkansas, this semester, 23,153 students. I think you ought to clap for that. That is, of course, by far an all-time record, 23,153 students. That will change up and down over the next several days, but that is as of this morning.
The enrollment for the fall semester is an increase of more than 1,700 from the previous year. Undergraduate enrollment is 19,033 students, which is another record number.
This is not only great news, it is important news, and we want to share it with all of you in a sense as a symbolic kickoff to our academic year. Because it shows that the university has established itself as the university of choice in Arkansas and beyond. Our undergraduate and graduate programs have positioned us both nationally and internationally as a respected institution. Our students represent every county in Arkansas, every state in the nation, and more than 125 countries. The economic development and advancement of Arkansas demands, as we all know, an educated workforce. As the state's flagship university, the University of Arkansas is a partner, a resource, and a catalyst in our state's educational, cultural, social, and economic development.
Gerhart noted that the university hasn't sacrificed quality for quantity. He says the freshman class is one of the most diverse and academically accomplished incoming classes in the institution's history, with average ACT scores of 26 and a grade point average of 3.6. The university also welcomed 10 more National Merit Scholars than last year.
So how far do we want to go as an institution in terms of our student body size? Well, we're examining how much larger we want to be very carefully. We're considering holding at 25,000 students, a number that we expect to reach in the next few years. And we are spending a lot of time evaluating our capacity here at the university as well as the needs of the state. What's more important is that the university is the right size to serve our students and our state and nation. Now, we have grown much faster than we ever anticipated. And we are in the process of a broad academic renovation of our buildings that will add substantial classes, places to have classes, two auditorium, recreational space, all across the campus designed to meet the demands and the needs of our growing student body. We want to grow, but we don't want to overbuild. So we're being very careful with our campus planning.
Those comments were made by Chancellor Gerhart earlier this morning.
The University of Arkansas volleyball team will open the 2011 season tonight in Barnhill Arena on the U of A campus. Arkansas has an experienced team returning this year. Last year's team did not have a single senior on the squad. First match tonight at 7 against number 15 in the country, Colorado State, is part of the annual Arkansas Invitational. The Razorbacks will play twice tomorrow in that tournament, at 11 tomorrow morning against McNeese State and tomorrow night against Middle Tennessee State. Head coach Robert Palooza says all of his thoughts, though, are on tonight's season opener.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You certainly get some butterflies, and that's the exciting part of just kind of ready to go, a little nervous, a little anxious, all those things kind of combining to those, you know, previous hours, and it's one of the coolest times of the game. It's that pre-time before you go live. It's a lot of uncertainty, and just when you go live, it just that's when it goes, and it's a lot of fun.
You're opening up with number 15 in the country, Colorado State.
Correct. Yeah, we're excited to play a really good team off the bat to challenge us. We think we have a good shot at taking that W. But, you know, mostly we just want to see where we're at. As you all know, the SEC, one of the toughest conferences in the country. And if you don't challenge yourself early on and see what your weaknesses are, you come to the SEC and it's a wake-up call. So we don't want to have that wake-up call late. We want to make sure if there's something we need to address, we can address it early and just keep getting better.
No seniors on the team last year. That means
Correct.
You've got a highly experienced team this year. You've got people like Kelly Stepanovich coming back, Jasmine Norton. Experience is good.
Yeah, experience is good. It's something that we haven't had really since we have been here. We're finally there with an experienced bunch, a group that knows what needs to happen, the work rate that needs to happen for you to be successful. And you can tell already in the practice gym that we have a different group and a more mature group.
So this first weekend, and this has been a long-held tradition that you'll open, that the Razorbacks open with an invitational. You've got a 7 p.m. Friday, 11 a.m. Saturday, 7 p.m. Saturday night. Now, I know every athlete will tell you they're ready to play somebody else, get the rust off, but 7 p.m., 11 a.m., 7 p.m.?
Yeah, you really better be ready. You know, you talk about playing somebody else. When you go, you really got to be ready to play somebody else because it happens very fast. You know, the first match is always an exciting time. So that one, in terms of energy, don't worry me too much. My biggest worry, actually, is the 11 o'clock match against McNeese State. They're brand-new coach, well-trained, and they're going to come. It's going to be their opener because they don't play on Friday, so they're going to be fresh, and they're going to be hungry to just play somebody else like we had done the night before. So we're going to have to rebound, win or lose, from that match before. That we know is going to be highly emotional and play our best ball at 11 o'clock in the morning. So that's my biggest worry on the weekend.
The environment at volleyball, I think, I'm a big baseball fan.
Uh-huh.
And so the bottom of the ninth, full count,
yeah.
Winning run at second, that's exciting. But I honestly think that a tight volleyball match could be the most nail-biting experience for a fan in sports. The atmosphere is amazing.
It really is, especially in Barnhill Arena. I mean, if you haven't been to, if you're a sports fan, you know, especially a Razorback sport fan, and you haven't been to a volleyball match in Barnhill Arena, you got to go. It's an unbelievable environment. The band is going crazy. The fans are going crazy. A student section is rocking. So it's a really, really cool environment. And, you know, the great thing about volleyball is that everything counts. Every point counts. And so you better, everything you do is going to matter, especially in that later stage. You know, you get to 2020, anything goes, you know, a bad ref call. So there's a lot of variables that really make it exciting down the stretch.
Not just even every point, but everything inside that point, every set, every hit, where the thumb is when the ball hits it.
Correct. It's a very technical game. And like I said, that's where the refs get involved a little bit, just because every touch must be clean. If not, that's going to be a ref call. That's a point for the other side. So, you know, in other sport, if a ref makes a call, it don't give somebody else a point immediately.
Right.
In the sport of volleyball, the ref makes a call and it immediately, you know, gives a point to the other team. So it's tricky.
You've played in the Final Four. You've coached in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Which is more nerve-wracking, playing in a close match or being on the sideline watching athletes under your tutelage play?
Being on the sidelines.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a player and we played in the Final Four, you have some control of the environment. You're in it. You kind of control your destiny as a player a little bit more. When you're a coach, you're just kind of sitting on the sidelines and hope you did a good job to prepare those kids to be successful, and then they just control their own destiny. So you have less control as a coach, and that's kind of tough.
So 7 o'clock Friday night. Start with Correct. Colorado State. 11 is McNeese, and 7 Saturday is Middle Tennessee
Middle
State.
Tennessee.
And then Tuesday night, ORU.
Oral Roberts, yeah. So we get done with a full weekend to go on to Tuesday against Oral Roberts. We went to their place last year, had a battle with them at their place, 5-set game, and we're looking forward for them to come here and have another good match.
All right, and then it's an extended trip time away from Barnhill, but you'll be back on the 23rd.
Yeah, we decided to just go on the road. We have an experienced group that I think can handle the road. And the SEC, you got to be able to win on the road to win the league and win the West. So we thought we'd go on the road for a little bit and learn how to handle it, get better, work on our routines and our maturity on the road. And I think it will pay off down the stretch.
I look forward to talking to you about the season as it rolls on.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. And Razorback fans, get ready for a good one.
Robert Palooza is the head coach of the Arkansas Razorback volleyball team. The season opens tonight at Barnhill Arena at 7 against Colorado State. And we'll have tickets to the opening weekend of volleyball to give away later on Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. KUAF is supported by SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, which begins its 2011-2012 inaugural season on Monday, September 19th at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. This performance will include Mozart's overture to Marriage of Figaro, Elgar's Cello Concerto in E minor featuring soloist Sebastian Baverstam, and Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony. Tickets are available at 443-5600 or waltonartscenter.org.
The 13th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series comes to a close tonight at Walton Arts Center. Warren Wolf, a vibraphonist rich in talent beyond his years, will perform with the Claudia Burson Trio. Robert Ginsberg, the host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz program, recently talked with Warren Wolf.
Warren, you are one of those marvelously talented musicians who's accomplished on vibes, marimba, drum set, and the piano as well, but you've settled on the vibes as your main instrument, and I gather this is in no small part a result of the fact that your dad played the vibes. Is that right?
Yes, my dad plays the vibes. He also plays hand percussion instruments. He got me started playing the vibraphone at the young age of 3. You know, I tried to emulate him as a child, coming down in our basement, and I would watch him and his friends practice and perform and things like that. So as a young child, I've always tried to be like him.
Well, as long as we're on the subject of parental guidance, it seems like, from what I've gathered, you had very strong parental guidance in terms of leading you towards a disciplined approach to studying music. Can you describe some of those early experiences?
Being a child coming up, my discipline, or I should say my practice schedule, being a young child all the way up until the age of 17, I had 90 minutes daily of training. The first half hour was always on the vibraphone / marimbas. The second half was on piano keyboards, and the last half was always on drums. It didn't always have to go in that order, but that was, you know, we always made sure we did 90 minutes 5 days per week. On the sixth day, meaning Saturday, I took lessons at the Peabody Preparatory with a classical percussion instructors from the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra.
So, really, music was a part of your life from some of your earliest memories, it sounds like.
Yes, from the age of 3. It was always there.
As you mentioned, you really had a wide background in terms of exposure to a lot of different kinds of music. You mentioned classical, jazz, and ragtime. And then you went on to study at Berklee School of Music, and I believe you studied with another vibraphonist there, Dave Samuels, as well.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And then you taught at Berklee for a while, didn't you?
Yes, right after graduation. I graduated in May of 2001. I hung around on the Boston scene for about another year and a half before I got the call to teach in the percussion department at Berklee. And this was September of 2003. My duties at the school in the percussion department were to teach an entering piano class for entering freshman drummers. And also, when there was time, I taught private lessons on the vibraphone and the drums.
I understand that you possess what's known as perfect pitch, or absolute pitch, and I want to clarify that. Perfect pitch is widely considered to be the ability to instantly identify or sing any given musical note without a reference pitch. And I also understand there's two types of perfect pitch, which they call active and passive. A person with active perfect pitch can be asked to sing or hum any given pitch. That is, if they're asked to, like, to sing a B flat without hearing any note or reference note, they can do that. Mm-hmm. And the other person can just identify. What type of perfect pitch do you have, and how has it impacted your career as a musician and a composer?
Well, I'm listening to the different types. I'm just learning something from you. I wasn't sure there were different types of perfect pitch. But I would say, for me, I have the type of perfect pitch to the point where I can hear not only just musical notes from a piano or any given instrument, but I can tell, like, things such as a lawnmower or trash trucks, or, you know, the sound of engines sometimes, depending on how low it is. I can hear things like that. Some people, when they hear certain notes, when it's coming from instruments, they can hear maybe one note or two notes at a time. Sometimes, and it depends on how tight a chord might be, but I have the ability to hear up to, I would say, 5 to 6 notes all at once.
Do you hear the world in musical terms, or you just happen to know what key it's in?
I mean, it's not something that I try to do all the time. I mean, if I just really sit down and do it, I mean, it's kind of like something that just happens.
It's in your toolbox.
Yes.
I got you.
It's kind of like, if I'm the world's greatest fighter, like Bruce Lee, that doesn't mean I'm going to go around and pick a fight with the second best fighter, you know. I'm just going to use it when it's necessary.
So you're not a gunslinger?
No.
That's cool. Well, you have a brand new self-titled CD out on Mack Avenue Records. It's hot off the press, and it's with a killer band. Tell us a little bit about how this recording came about and the band that you put together for it.
I would say the recording came about from two previous projects I've done for Mack Avenue. The first project I've done was a guest on saxophonist Tia Fuller's record. I think it's called Pillar of Strength. I did three tracks on her record. And also Christian McBride was a guest on her record also on that same record. So that session went very well. The next record that we did was Christian McBride's Inside Straight record, Kind of Brown, which I was featured on, I think, 8 of 9 tracks, or maybe 9 of 10 tracks. From that point, I think Mack Avenue had their eye on me. So eventually I got the call when they said they wanted to work with me, and I decided to assemble the band. Assembling the band, it wasn't as hard for me as it seemed. You know, Christian definitely was going to, he produced the record as well as played on it. So I had Christian, you know, had his bass services on the record. So I wanted to build around that. I wanted to go with musicians who I knew would sound good and who we were comfortable with. So I knew him and Greg Hutchison, they've played together, I guess, from the very beginning. You know, some of their first beginners, they were in Roy Hargrove's quintet back from the 90s. So that was an instant connection right there between the two. Peter Martin and Greg Hutchison, them two have a connection from Roy Hargrove's second band, which was like the mid to late 90s. And also they toured together with Diane Reeves for a few years. The horns can always vary. I don't think they have to have so much in touch with the rhythm section. But I wanted to get Tim Green in there. He's a very good friend of mine. I've known Tim since he was in elementary school. me and him, I play in his band as well when we do his material. So we have a good chemistry together. And me and Jeremy, we've played in different projects ever since college. He's also a graduate of Berklee College of Music. He invited me as a guest on his record that he did for the Max Jazz record label a few years ago. So there's an instant connection for me with every one of the band members.
Incidentally, I want to congratulate you on your recent award, the Baltimore Jazz Awards for Musical Excellence. I'm sure it probably has special significance to be recognized by your hometown.
Yes, it is. It was a great, great honor to have that award, you know, to continue to bring in jazz to the city of Baltimore. Usually every time when I'm trying to do a concert in Baltimore, I'm always trying to bring people, you know, special artists in, you know, just to get a different feel for things.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that, and congratulations on your new CD. We're really looking forward to your first appearance in Northwest Arkansas. You're going to be closing out the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series. You're the last act of the season, and you'll be playing with our local rhythm section. I guess that kind of introduces new challenges when you come to a town and have to play with people you've never played with before.
I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, this is the time for me. It's all music, you know. It's just talking a different language. We're just conversating on stage through music. So it'll all gel together. Once we play a couple tunes, but we all gel together, we'll come together. It'll sound good. It'll sound like magic.
Well, Warren, I want to thank you for taking the time to let me interview you, and we'll see you here on Friday.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Vibraphonist Warren Wolf. He'll be appearing this Friday at 8 p.m. at the Walton Arts Center's Star Theater, the final concert in the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series. Along with Warren, the Claudia Burson Trio, our hometown trio, with Claudia Burson on piano, Steve Wilkes on the drums, and Drew Packard on the bass.
Will perform tonight at the Walton Arts Center. It's the final show in the 13th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series. Robert Ginsberg talked to Warren Wolf earlier this week, and you can hear Robert on Shades of Jazz tonight and every Friday night at 10 o'clock on KUAF 91.3 FM.
It's Friday, August 26, 2011. I'm Antoinette
Grajeda. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
This is one of those weekends when living in Northwest Arkansas just makes me do a little happy dance.
Because it's so busy?
Because it's so busy and there's so much to do and so much of it's free or cheap. And so we're going to count down our blessings.
Okay.
The top 10 reasons to get off the couch this weekend.
Here we go.
Number 10, Hey Penny, a group from Nashville, Tennessee. They have ties to this area because it's through former Fayetteville resident and current Hey Penny member Ben Elkins.
Mm-hmm.
They have released several albums, including the February 21st offering A Jillion Kicks. And they will be at Rogue Pizza Company at 8 o'clock tonight, and admission is $5.
Good value.
Number 9, Back Porch Bluegrass. The series continues at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. Lonesome Road plays at 7 o'clock tonight, and it is
absolutely free.
There you go. Number 8. It's the VW weekend in Eureka Springs. I love it. Today through Sunday, you can find out more at NWAVWAVolkswagen.com.
Not just Beatles.
Not just Beatles.
Things.
Buses.
Right.
Yeah. Number 7. There's a book signing at 8 o'clock Saturday at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. Some friends of ours, Charlie Allison and Ellen Compton, authors of Fayetteville. Obviously, the new book about Fayetteville.
Right.
That's at 8 o'clock, and it is
free.
Number 6, The Stars from the Platters, the Coasters, the Drifters, and the Temptations.
You're going to hear some Lieber and Stoller there.
You're going to hear some
Hollard Ocean Hall.
Some amazing people. I talked to Miles Savage, who was sort of a fill-in front man for the Platters later in their career. He sang to me on the phone.
I love that.
It was so awesome. They're all together singing the songs they made famous in the 60s at 7 o'clock Saturday at the Alma Performing Arts Center. Tickets start at $20. AlmaPAC.org. Number five, the end of the KUAF Summer Jazz Series. Mm-hmm. Vibraphonist Warren Wolf. What a great instrument.
The vibraphone?
Yes. Yeah. It makes the most amazing sound. You know, he plays with Christian McBride. He's just 32, getting all kinds of rave reviews. And he plays at 8 o'clock tonight at the Star Theater at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville.
Don't have your tickets yet. You better call because there were just a few left yesterday.
Okay. 443-5600. Number four is the Frisco Festival.
Excellent.
Always a sure sign that fall is on the way. Sorry. It's a sure sign that it's later in the summer.
There you go.
It includes music by FOS Project and A Good Fight tonight, Joe Giles and the Homewreckers and Benjamin Del Shreve Saturday night, Kids World with a rock climbing wall and basketball toss and pedal cars and kids activities and food, all kinds of food, a dog show, and the Frisco Idol Contest starts at 5 tonight and at 9 tomorrow in downtown Rogers.
Perfect.
Number three, there's a rain barrel workshop with the Washington County Cooperative Extension Service. Two sessions at 9 and 10:30 tomorrow at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale, and free water-related educational activities for kids. The workshop costs $20 to $25, and you can find out more at 750-8165.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down to the top two.
All right.
And it's been a pretty impressive list so far.
Yes.
The number two reason it's a great weekend to be here is Boeing.
Theater Squared.
You did the talk back.
The artist forum at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to see the show?
I'm really excited to go see it now.
Okay, it stars Jim Goza, which ought to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in the 60s when this commuter who lives in Paris, lives in the United States, and has three wives.
Fiancés.
Mm-hmm. Who are all, I guess stewardess was correct then. Air hostesses, stewardess. Great costumes. It's one of those typical British farces, except it's translated from French.
The most performed French play in world history.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a lot of fun. It starts Thursday at Theater Squared, and you can find out more about tickets at 443-5600. And the number one reason to love life in Northwest Arkansas this weekend is the Fayetteville Roots Festival.
Mm-hmm.
More than three dozen acts, national and local, different venues.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing tonight, but then tomorrow on the square, you can see some great musicians for free, kind of for family and kids. Mm-hmm. Then tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night at Walton Arts Center.
Mm-hmm. Talk about expanding exponentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is the second year, and it's gone from kind of Brian Hembree's love child to headliner Guy Clark.
Right.
Right.
9:15 Saturday at the Walton Arts Center. Husband and wife duo Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny Arion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Guthrie like in Arlo. Mm-hmm. Just want to mention that. They play at 7:15 Saturday at the Walton Arts Center. All that free music at the Farmer's Market. And an afternoon show at the Walton Arts Center that includes Still on the Hill, Trout Fishing in America, Efren White, Emily Cates. Some things are free. Some things require tickets, which start at $20. Festival packages start at $60. FayettevilleRoots.com.
And Antoinette and I are very honored. We will be hosting the main stage Saturday night.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, very excited.
Very exciting.
Yay. How fun. So if you're not having a good time this weekend, it's not our fault.
Not at all.
Becca Fagan Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We're inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. With us, from my left around the table, David Benjamin Cody, three members of Charlie Horse, a band who will be playing Saturday night at Kingfish, just off Dixon Street, as kind of the after party to the Walton Arts Center portion of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. Gentlemen, welcome.
Howdy.
Hey.
And the good news is we have all kinds of instruments around us, so I guess you're going to be playing as well?
These guys are, yep.
Yeah. Two out of three.
Ain't bad. Yeah. Two out of five, that's a little worse.
Well, the first thing, and before you guys arrived,
yes,
we were talking about the name Charlie Horse.
Yes. How did you come up with the name Charlie Horse? Because isn't Charlie Horse kind of not a good thing? I mean, well, anybody who's had one is like, oh, that hurts, and it's not pleasant.
Well, yeah. Our old bass player thought it was a good sounding roots name, but also, you know, you could dance so hard that you got a Charlie Horse, but also roots music isn't always real happy, and sometimes it does hurt. And so, you know, it kind of goes along with that as well.
And it's kind of playful.
Yeah.
It's
good.
You bring up the term roots music, which is can mean a wide variety of things. It can mean anything from really traditional blues up to more rowdy, you know, think Jason the Scorchers or Mother Truckers or something like that. How do you guys describe roots music?
I don't know, just the storytelling in it, maybe. You know, the music that tells stories about people's lives and about average, everyday people's lives, and just the struggles that we kind of all go through. That kind of hits it for me. And that, along with because I play pedal steels and banjos and dobros, the instrumentation goes a long way for me as well. Instruments that have these traditional roots-based, Americana-based instruments definitely signifies a roots-based band to me and a roots sound to me.
Yeah, no auto-tuners.
Just a cross-cut of Americana for sure. It's just a little bit of everything.
Does that enter into, because you guys write, you know, music, does that enter into it consciously for you when you talk about everyday folks?
Most of the songwriting I do is pretty personal songwriting, really. So for me, it would definitely be more the style. I mean, like someone like Guy Clark, who's going to be here this weekend, is just, you know, I grew up on that stuff. My parents are both Austinites, moved up to find water in the 70s, and I grew up on that sort of Americana singer songwriter Texas stuff. So, and Guy Clark's a very personal writer too. He writes mostly about himself and personal experiences, and he's such a working man's kind of songwriter too, because he's done all kinds of stuff, and he's just
built boats.
He's all over the place. Guitars, boats, working on big machinery, just whatever. He's just, you know, pure American. You know, it's hard for me to picture him to have a music career, really, because most of the stuff he sings about, you'd wonder where he found time to really do any of that. But that's a Texan.
He does it well.
Yeah, that's the Texan in him for sure. So.
You know, technically, you guys could say that since you're at Kingfish after Walton Arts Center, and it's all part of the same festival, couldn't you technically say that Guy Clark opened for you?
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Well,
yeah, that's a good idea.
We tend to find ourselves in that position a lot. I prefer the term after party.
In this case, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys seem like to be a great band for an after party, because you are a party, right?
Yeah, that's why they picked us. I work for Jeremy, and
that's Jeremy at Greenhouse
Jeremy
Grill.
Gothrop, who's one of the promoters on this, and we've worked for Jeremy before on music stuff, because of course he did the Great Unknown festivals back in the day. I guess it's been quite a while since there was one of those, but you know, he called me into the office and said, we need a party band for after hours, and you guys just really, there's just nobody else really that could really fill that, you know, in late this town, really, that could fill that niche. That can because we do, we jump a lot of lines. I mean, I play a ton of Guy Clark songs, and you know, but they're definitely not done in that fashion. We used to play a lot more acoustic music, but the electric won out, because most of our gigs were in bars where it's loud, so we had to be louder.
Yeah, we're a late night loud group of guys.
Yeah,
so you know, that's the kind of music that we play.
Well, that's how you got involved with the Roots Festival. How did you guys get involved with each other as a band? How did you meet? How did you?
Well, I was looking for some people to play music with, and I knew some friends of Ben's parents, and Ben had just moved back from Alaska.
Montana.
And the people that I knew his parents had told me, You've got to meet Ben Wardlaw. You guys would love to play music together. Y'all have the same kind of approach to music, just kind of a go-get-it sort of style. And then another friend of mine had seen Ben play just at a circle at a campfire at a festival and came back and told me the same thing. You got to meet this guy, Ben Wardlaw. Y'all would love to play together. And then I ran into Ben into a bar one night, and we kind of met. And we decided to have like a little rehearsal, kind of feel each other out the next day, see how it went. And I went over there expecting to play music for like an hour and then leave. And we ended up spending 5 or 6 hours playing music that day. And I ended up moving in to the house with him probably within a month. And that was kind of the beginning of that. And Stacy and I had already been kind of playing with the idea of trying to get some stuff off the ground with Charlie Horse. And
Stacy Lyles is the one that came up with the name.
Yeah, Stacy Lyles, our former bass player. And so the three of us just kind of started off, and they used to do a Monday Night Bluegrass at the Gypsy, which is currently the Rogue, and they had Wildwood did it one summer and the next summer, and I'd kind of helped with getting that together, and my friend Jody, who was in charge of that, came to me, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks or less before they were doing the Monday Night Bluegrass for the summer, and he said, I heard you got a band together. I said, well, yeah, we've been playing together for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, just kind of practicing. He says, well, you know, you guys have 5 weeks, and y'all play every Monday for the summer, and so go ahead and get ready. And so me and Ben just started playing a lot of music and kind of trying to get ready for that. And that's pretty much what forced us into going from just hanging out on the front porch and playing music together for fun into trying to come up with something that we could actually entertain people for a long period of time. Is that kind of how you remember it, Ben? More or less?
More or less, yeah, definitely.
Now, you guys mentioned earlier that you have a CD. Is that fairly eclectic as well?
We have two of them, actually.
Well, we're sold out of the first one, but yeah. We've recorded two of them.
And what are the titles of the CDs?
The first one was Come On, and this one was just self-titled.
The second one was the debut album, mm-hmm. Charlie Horse, self-titled. Yeah. The first one was called Come On.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I was just saying. But yeah, it is eclectic on that for sure. It's not as much as our live shows because of the covers that we pick out. Because, you know, it's a lot easier to change it up whenever you're, you know, playing someone else's songs because you can just switch gears. But and for writing, it, you know, everybody's going to, no matter who you are, you're going to write sort of in the same vein. So.
Well, should we ask them our traditional question when the entire band isn't here?
Yes. So there's only three of you, and there's a total of five, so yeah. Two people are missing. So we want you to tell us something about one or both of them that we may not know. An interesting fact, a secret, if you will.
Well, me and Chad played t-ball together.
Last week? Or?
No. When we were kids. I don't know how old you are when you play t-ball. But
5, 6. Yeah. What was your team? Yeah. Do you remember?
Bonanza.
Nice.
Yep.
Awesome.
And we were also in, I guess, nursery school together. The First Baptist Church here on the corner, Dixon and 71.
Wow.
So you guys get to do Isaiah.
You're talking about he's Derek Trucks' illegitimate son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. He is the illegitimate child.
He was conceived at age 12. Derek was pretty rowdy back then, I guess. He is very. If you've ever seen a picture of either of those two, they are
strikingly similar.
Fitting image from the way they hold their face when they play to their hair to everything about them.
Yep.
Very similar looking.
And Derek Trucks, in case people don't know, this amazing, still very young,
yes,
blues guitarist.
Yeah, the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
As well as his own band.
And he's now, married to Susan Tedeschi.
And they have a great CD out.
Yes.
That's the Tedeschi Trucks band.
Yep.
So that's what, okay, so he is the doppelganger for
yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
You can even play like him, too, at times.
That's what's even better.
Okay, let's talk about the instruments. You have your guitar.
Yep.
You brought in banjo.
Banjo and a dobro.
When did you pick up the dobro? When did you start?
I had a mandolin for a long time, and I just never could. The little thing just never made sense to me, so I traded in for a dobro, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, and I just instantly really loved the slide. I had already been playing slide guitar on a regular guitar, and just loved the slide sound, and just the feeling you can get out of a fretless instrument, and so I just kind of started playing that, and I played dobro and a little bit of banjo and guitar, and me and Dave played with a band, with Jeff Fox and another band one summer, probably pretty soon into the Charlie Horse career. And that was how we met Isaiah. But I told Jeff I wanted to play some guitar in that band. He said, no, don't worry about that. You play that slide guitar. We'll find another guitar player. And that was kind of the first time that I'd ever thought in my head about the future of my music career and what instruments I should play to maybe get more work and things like that. So at that point, I kind of stopped practicing the guitar and started practicing dobro and lap steel and banjo. And then in the last 5 years, I've been really laying into the pedal steel quite a bit.
So Saturday night, Kingfish, it's the after party after the Walton Arts Center part of the Roots Festival. If you are going to the Roots Festival at Walton Arts Center, you get in free at Kingfish.
Yep.
If you're not, $10 to get in?
Actually, I'm going to amend that right now, and it's going to go ahead and be a free show.
Oh.
That's what Jeremy told me.
Okay,
now I remember.
Wow.
So, yes.
So free.
Yes. After the after-hours party will be... It'll be a regular old Kingfish crowd. So.
Yeah, and on top of getting to see just Charlie Horse, you're going to have Sarah Hughes is going to be playing before us, I think, a solo acoustic show. And we're going to have Mark Ballou from Big Smith sitting in with us for the whole show. And we're hoping Ryan Spearman, another great songwriter from St. Louis that's going to be down here, is going to sit in on fiddle with us. So we should have the Charlie Horse Rock and Roll Country Orchestra up there for our set.
A pretty good history with Mark Ballou from Big Smith and Ryan. Ryan used to come through town in a band called High on the Hog. It was a Colorado string band, single mic string band, and he's a amazing fiddle player, amazing musician, teaches at the folk school in St. Louis. And Mark is secretly a rock and roll junkie, so he'll be up there ripping electric guitar, which he doesn't get to do enough because he's really good.
And that's Saturday night. Friday night.
Yep, Friday night is going to be kind of a little free downtown pre-party. If it's going to be one of those things, if you don't have tickets to the festival and you still want to see some regional roots music on Friday night, there's going to be at Kingfish is going to be Kevin Banach from 6 to 8, who's a great local songwriter, and then from 8 to 11 is going to be Joe Mack, who's out of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, another really great songwriter performer, and Stacy Lyles, who's the former bass player of Charlie Horse, and myself will be backing up Joe Mack. So that'll be like a three-piece acoustic bluegrass sort of thing going on Friday night from 8 to 11 there, and Kevin Banach from 6 to 8.
And that's all on that new stage.
Yep, it's all on the new stage there, and that's all free too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, how about some music?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this song's kind of a Fayetteville homecoming song as well, for sure. So it's halfway written out west. Thinking about getting back home for sure. Great.
Yep. Down.
Charlie Horse will headline the Fayetteville Roots Festival After Party at Kingfish, just off Dixon Street in Fayetteville, tomorrow night. They visited the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this week. And time now for a question. And yes. Since we talked about volleyball earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. A volleyball question?
Yes. And winners will receive, we'll have two winners.
Okay.
Each winner receives a package of four tickets to the Invitational that's Friday and Saturday.
Excellent.
Three games involving the Razorbacks, and you'll be able to pick them up at the Will Call window at Barnhill Arena.
Excellent. So volleyball tickets for this, the answer to this volleyball question.
That's right. Women's Olympic volleyball has been part of the games since the 60s.
So the indoor one.
Yes, not beach volleyball, but the volleyball like the Razorbacks play.
Just checking.
Sure. And our simple question is, which team has won the most gold medals in Summer Olympic women's volleyball?
Okay.
Is it the Soviet Union, China, or the United States of America?
All right. If you know or have a guess, give us a call at 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 26th of August, 2011. It's the birthday of the novelist Julio Cortazar, born Brussels, Belgium, to Argentine parents, 1914, who wrote dreamlike, fantastic stories collected in the English translation Blow Up and other stories. In one story, a man reading a mystery novel becomes the murder victim in the novel he is reading. Man staring at an animal in a zoo realizes that he's become that animal. In another, a man in a hospital dreams that he's about to be sacrificed by Aztecs, only to realize that he actually is about to be sacrificed by Aztecs, and he's only been dreaming that he was in a hospital. It's the birthday of the French-Italian-Polish poet Guillaume Apollinaire, born 1880 in Rome, born Wilhelm Albert Vladimir Apollinaris Kostrowiczki, the illegitimate child of a Polish woman who was living in the Vatican. He was raised in gambling dens in Italy, Monaco, Paris, and on the French Riviera. When he was young, he assumed the identity of a Russian prince. He was a friend of Picasso's, but a poet by vocation and credited with coining the word surrealism. Joined the infantry during World War I, wrote poetry in the trenches, suffered a head wound, died of influenza during the epidemic of 1918. It's the birthday of Albert Sabin, born 1906 in Bialystok, Poland, to Jewish parents. The last name was Saperstein. Family immigrated to this country in 1921, started his research on polio while he was still a medical student at NYU, and later at the University of Cincinnati proved that the polio virus entered the body not through the respiratory tract, but through the digestive tract. And so he set out to create an oral vaccine, which was approved for use in 1960, and the Sabin vaccine became the vaccine of choice around the world. It's the birthday of Stephen J. Dubner, born Duanesburg, New York, 1963, co-author of Freakonomics. His parents were both raised Jewish but converted to Catholicism. Dubner, raised Catholic, converted to Judaism as an adult. He wrote, "We have chosen our religion, rejecting what we inherited for what we felt we needed. This is a particularly American opportunity." Here's a poem for today by Sam Hamill entitled Lifer, McNeil Island Correctional Center. Hunched over hard white bread and plastic soup bowl filled with gruel, he looked like a stork, a silly angel, all neck and bony shoulder wings and awkward beak. His head lifted, then fell in a slow, deliberate dance 3-4 times, doughy skinned in a gray room sickened by yellow light. He kept his eyes shut tight. Outside the prison dining hall, a turnkey slammed and locked the heavy iron gate. The old man placed his palms together softly, raised them to his stubbled chin, crossed himself, and ate. Lifer, a poem by Sam Hamill, from his book Almost Paradise, published by Shambhala Publications and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, partners with the National Endowment for the Arts in Poetry Out Loud, a national poetry recitation contest for high school students. More information at poetryfoundation.org. Written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time for our volleyball question answer again. Two winners will be pulled out of the ceramic cow. You'll each win 4 tickets. So you and 3 other people, if you got a family, you can go for free to the volleyball matches this weekend, Friday and Saturday at Barnhill Arena. Tickets will be at will call.
Okay.
Question was, what team has the most gold medals in women's Summer Olympic indoor volleyball?
Okay.
Russia, China, or the good old US of A?
And the answer is Russia.
Yes. Soviet Union has 4. China has 2. The United States?
1.
0. Never
really?
Won the gold. Silver and a couple of bronze, but never won the gold.
Well, there you go.
All right. And Ozarks at Large is supported by Malco Theaters and their fan page on Facebook. Fans receive direct movie information to their email box. On the web at facebook.com/Malco Theaters to join. The Susan G. Komen Pink Ribbon Luncheon will be held Thursday, September 29th from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Springdale Convention Center. This themed fundraiser, Give Breast Cancer the Boot, will feature a fall boot preview, silent auction items, and music from recording artist Candy Coburn. Tickets and more information are available at komenozark.org or 750-PINK.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Rock.
Rock. Where is Rock, Arkansas?
It's along the Benton County and Madison County line, over kind of near War Eagle Cavern.
Oh, okay. That's all the time we have for this edition of Ozarks at Large. Ithi Agnihotri-Madulker will be with me Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. We'll be back together Monday,
But
we'll also be together on stage tomorrow night.
We will at the Fayetteville Roots Festival at Walton Arts Center.
Not playing, but just introducing.
Yes, definitely not playing.
Okay. Thanks, Antoinette.
Thank you.